In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Today is the blessed Sabbath, the great and holy Sabbath. Yes, even God himself respects his own commandment to rest on the Sabbath day, and that's what he did. He's in the tomb. Today actually connects Holy Friday, the event of the Passion, and what will happen on Sunday, the Resurrection. To many of the baptized, the real nature and meaning of the relationship of this middle day, it's a middle day, remains rather obscure. Many churchgoers, many people who are baptized, think that the most important days are Great and Holy Friday and Great and Holy Pascha, Sunday, the cross and the resurrection. They jump then from the cross to the resurrection. But that's incongruous. It's an abrupt leap from sorrow to joy, and it's not natural. The liturgy actually teaches you and me something different. The movement from the cross to the resurrection is not simply just replacing one experience and one emotion for a different experience and a different emotion. Instead, the church is proclaiming to you and me tonight already that Christ has trampled down death by death. Even then, before the resurrection has actually occurred, an event occurred where sorrow was not simply replaced by joy. It was transformed into joy. Sadness was transformed into joy. It just wasn't put aside. Victory emerges out of defeat. Hence, before the event of the resurrection, the church is already contemplating, begins to contemplate this night in Holy Saturday Orthros, the death of death itself. The death of death itself. Such is the significance and the meaning of tonight's liturgical service. The liturgy of Great and Holy Saturday morning, which we're celebrating tonight, celebrates the saving and the transforming power of Christ going down into Hades, where he's now beginning to trample once and for all death itself. If we have the chance, and maybe by next year we'll be in our own parish, we're on our own place that we can call our parish. We could have great vespers on Friday when we actually take Christ down from the cross. In the morning, we have the 12 narrations of Christ from the moment and just before he goes to the garden all the way to the point where they lay him in the tomb. And that goes from like 9 to noon. And Christ is nailed to the cross. We actually have an image of the cross, and we actually nail him to the cross. And our Lord is on the cross from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. or thereabouts in the evening, sometime between 3 and 5 o'clock. They rush to take him down, and so the church then has vespers at 5 p.m., and we take the Lord's body off the cross and wrap him in a linen. And he'd be properly placed inside the sanctuary, and then tonight he's brought out. Well, during vespers at the end, he's brought out and then placed on the tomb. But so he's, at this point, he's taken down from the cross, and the church accompanies. The church accompanies the Theotokos. The church is accompanying Mary Magdalene and the other and those other women, and Joseph and Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus. And we're walking with them. The church is walking with them to the tomb. Tonight we stand and at the grave of the Lord. That's what this is. It's kind of confusing. You don't really get the sense because the icons are up here, but everything would be taking place outside the iconostasis. This is the tomb. It's a bier. And the church is standing before our Lord in the tomb when you came in. You ducked underneath this epitaphios. It's an icon of the burial of Christ. You're walking under because what you're doing is you're walking into the tomb. So you bend over, you bend down, you go into the tomb. And what are we doing this evening? What are we doing all day tomorrow? The church is contemplating how death is being defeated. And yet, what did we experience today with the church, with the first apostles and the first disciples? We stood in horror of what had transpired these last 24 hours. We stood in the midst and watched this darkness overcome the entire world and creation. The dark was so thick, and in nature itself trembled. There was an earthquake. The earth trembled at what mankind did to the God-man. And the sun hid its face. One lamentation takes the words of the Theotokos, and the church makes those words of Our Lady her own. And tonight we mourned these words, quote, or we mourned with these words, quote, O all ye mountains and hills, and all you gatherings of men, mourn, weep, lament with me, the mother of your God. End of quote. And yet the one with a lived faith, while experiencing the anguish of this night, God-man is in the tomb. We can still cleave to the words of the psalmist, quote, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord, end of quote. Who is that? It's Christ. From the first psalm until the last psalm, blessed is the just man. It's all, those are the prayers of Christ. All 150 Psalms, they are Christ's prayer. So hence, while at first glance, tonight may appear as a funeral liturgy, and we call that in our booklet, the content of the prayers and the content of our hymns are hardly anything about a funeral liturgy. It's Psalm 118 instead. We sing Psalm 118 tonight. Psalm 118 is the fullest expression of love for God's law. The righteous man loves God's law, and the one who loved it perfectly was Jesus of Nazareth. You love God's law, and that law gives life. It doesn't take life. You love God's law, and it's creating. It's not destructive. Because Jesus the Christ, the beloved Son of the Father, was absolutely faithful to the law of God unto death. He fulfilled it perfectly. Even though our Lord then entered into death, tonight, tomorrow, and by the time we get to Sunday morning, he renders death powerless. He tramples upon it. The fathers of the church then often depict this event of Christ entering into death itself as the great duel of human history, the great duel of cosmic history, the duel between the God-man and Satan. And that duel develops in several stages. At first glance, the forces of evil seem to triumph. Yes, the God-man's on the cross and he dies. The righteous one has been abandoned by all. And he dies just not a death, he dies a shameful death. That's why the Jews could not accept it, and the Greeks could not, were baffled by it. Would God's chosen one be rejected and die on a humiliating, tortured Roman cross? No. No just man would ever experience that. And what is more, this one, he enters into Hades, the place of utter darkness, the place of despair, the place of no life. And at that very moment, however, at that very moment, the real meaning of his death is revealed. Jesus of Nazareth does not have life as a gift given to him from outside. You and I, we were clay. And at one point, God breathed life into you and me. Not Jesus of Nazareth. He's the God-man. He is life. He's the source of life. He's the essence of life. And so while he does fall asleep and he goes into Hades, he remains the immortal, holy God. He remains united to human nature in his divinity. Without confusion, without change, without division, and without separation, as has been taught by the councils of the church. And so life himself went into death, went into Hades, and he tramples it. And that's what the church is celebrating on Great and Holy Saturday. So tonight, on one hand, we do witness the burial of Christ as we sing. The noble Joseph took down from the tree your spotless body and wrapped it in pure linen with spices and laid it for burial in a new tomb. So yes, he's buried in a tomb. On the other hand, tonight, the church sings. When you descended to death, O immortal life, you put Hades to death by the splendor of your divinity. And when you raised the dead from below the earth, all the heavenly powers cried out to you, O giver of life, Christ our God, glory to you. Christ is among us. He is among us.